All right. Well, we trust and pray that each of you have had a blessed day today as we prepare for this time together tonight. Truly, this is indeed the day the Lord has made, and we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. Of course, it's Bible study time, and as Lady Kim just indicated, and we get excited around a time to study God's Word because we know that something powerful is going to happen as a result of that. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing. Isn't that what it says,
yep.
Lady Kim? And hearing by the Word of God. So each time we place ourselves in a position to hear the Word, then we know that our faith will increase. And the interesting thing about faith, God, I don't believe, wants us to just be hearers of the Word, mm-hmm. but He wants us to be doers of the Word as well. So we have to put our faith in action. And we have to not only just hear this word, but when God begins to speak to us through the word, then we go in prayer and be motivated to do something about what we hear. Isn't that right?
That's right.
And many times the change is not necessarily happening in somebody else's situation or somebody else's life, but more often than not, it's something that God is trying to get done in us, mm-hmm. so that we can be ready for what He yet is trying to get done in the lives of others and those that we surround ourselves with. Mm-hmm. So we're encouraged tonight. As you're joining, let us know we're getting a good signal tonight. I see we have several people on, and we have different platforms for this study. But somebody give us a heads up, a thumbs up, and let us know that we're getting a clear signal tonight. All right. Well, we have a lot to cover. We're in the 29th chapter of First Chronicles. And I believe that's going to be the last chapter in First Chronicles. Isn't that right,
yes,
Lady
Kim?
Yes,
the last chapter. Absolutely.
And so this has been an exciting time going through. But don't fret. Don't worry. We will start with 2 Chronicles as soon as we finish 1 Chronicles. And this is an interesting study tonight. It's going to be a whole lot here, and we might have to divide this up and close out next week, but we'll just see how it goes and how things happen tonight. Is that all right?
That's fine.
Okay. Well, let's start out with a word of prayer. Did anybody say they were getting a good signal?
Yes,
okay. Somebody
said loud and clear.
Loud and clear.
Three
all right.
Four people.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's have prayer as we prepare for this time together tonight. Mm-hmm. God, we bless you and we honor you and
yes.
we do give you praise. Mm-hmm. We thank you for your Spirit's abiding
yes.
presence. And we realize and we're clear in our minds and in our spirits that in you we do live, move, and have our being. And we understand that we're nothing without you.
Yes.
And so now, God, we pray that even as we prepare for this time together tonight, mm-hmm. that you might allow the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts to be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. We love you tonight. We honor you and we bless your name. And for each person who's going to hear this particular virtual study and those who are participating tonight and perhaps will hear this later, we pray to the Lord that something powerful will happen
yes.
in their situation.
Hallelujah.
Because they dare to take time to hear the word of God. So we love you tonight. We honor you and we bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray, and those who love God said amen.
Amen.
Come on, somebody give me a thumbs up and an amen and let me know that you're in agreement. Amen simply means that, and it is so,
it is so,
that you're agreeing with that prayer. Good to see each of you tonight as we prepare for this time together. But another powerful time in the Lord on yesterday. Mm-hmm. I tell you, it was Mother's Day all across the land and country. And did not our hearts burn on yesterday as Lady Kim stood tall and proclaimed the word of God? And then we had the place was full and the presence of God was in the room. And I tell you, I'm humbled by the fact that God is yet favoring us.
Amen.
And God is still smiling upon us.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that most of the churches, no doubt, probably had a good attendance on yesterday.
Yes. Right.
Because that was one of the days where most families, if they don't go to church any other time of the year, They're going to be there for Mother's Day.
Yes.
And if it's not, and with their mother, it's in honor of their mother. And we had a fantastic array of things set for the whole day. And Lady Kim, you really brought the house down. I might have to get you to do a part two on this Sunday, because I don't think I'm going to be able to come back behind that message that you preached. But that was a powerful word.
Thank you.
Talking about prayer. What happens when women pray? And you used a very unique way of dealing with that particular text that was found in 1 Samuel, the first chapter, verses 6 through 18, a very familiar passage of scripture. But, and you indicated that you had preached it before, but you said it's kind of like that spaghetti, right?
Spaghetti or a pot of greens.
A pot of greens that second time
and
around.
When you let it sit and soak in seeds, that seasoning soaks in, then it tastes better the second time, the second day.
Well, you really outdid yourself yesterday. And I know the ATOP Church family, they are grateful for the gift that you bring. And all of the ministers and, you know, who are preaching and who are teaching, God has just blessed us tremendously. Wouldn't you agree with me on that?
Yes, he has.
And so we started out with a powerful time in Sunday school. Tell us a little bit about what happened with that, Lady
Kim. In Sunday school, we had muffins with moms and mentors. For we know that every woman is not a mother.
Okay.
Sometimes it's by choice. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, it's by circumstances. Beyond their control, but we know that every woman is a mentor to someone. If she's not a mother, I'm telling you, I know of some of my acquaintances or friends, they're not mothers, but they are wonderful aunts. They're wonderful TTs and aunties, and they take care of their nieces and nephews as if they were their own.
Godmothers,
you know, take care of their children, you know, their godchildren, go over and beyond. They're at the games and everything, all the extracurricular activities, just like the parent. They step in when the parents can, and sometimes they're there more than the parent.
That's right.
And so mentors are invaluable. And so we don't want to overlook the fact that sometimes just because we're women, And we're not mothers does not mean that we're less than.
That's good.
On the flip side of that, because we are here in creation, all of us had a mother.
That's right.
We had to have a mother to
get
here.
That's the common denominator, right?
So we honor all mothers. Mm-hmm. Again, we realize that everyone didn't have a great mother.
That's right.
A great mother figure. Some of us had wonderful mothers. You know, as mothers, we do the best we can with what we have and with what we know. And we usually parent the way we've been parented.
Unless we choose
to do better or choose to, you know,
improve on the situation.
Right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so hopefully every mother strives to improve on their motherhood, wanting to be a better mother than their mother. Mm-hmm. But again, we realize that everyone does not have a good mother figure.
That's right.
Or a great mother figure.
That's right.
And so in that case, you know, we just say honor your mother, because God gave you that person to bring you into this world. And if nothing else, honor that parent for bringing you into this world, because God is still blessing you.
Wow, that's powerful. Because the scripture reminds us that we need to honor our mother and our father, that our days might be long upon the land.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important that we recognize that. And then, Lady Kim, as you were just talking, you know, some have really a lot of feelings that they wrestle with around these special days like Mother's Day and Father's Day and the likes. Because part of it has to do with a mother who has gone on to be with the Lord, and it really kind of and doesn't fit, you know, as well. And I don't know those who still have their mothers present in their lives, whether good, bad, or indifferent. Once they're gone, it's a void that can never be replaced. And so the feelings run the gamut. They up and down, and they're all over the place, particularly when someone has lost a mother that was close to them or that really influenced them and really had a hands-on experience with them, and it was a good experience.
Right.
And like you said, some can even be not so good, but we have to abide by, as believers, what the Word reminds us,
mm-hmm.
and we have to honor, and we have to forgive, and we have to also remember. And so I was thinking about some of the memories of my mom, you know, and we called the Big Mama. Well, I called her Mama, but people who knew her called her Big Mama,
mm-hmm.
you know. But she could cook. She could sure enough cook. And, you know, when I was growing up, she had the beauty shop in the house,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she was a beautician by trade. And I tell you, one of the things that I was thinking about, and this, I'm not trying to get spiritual or deep, but I was thinking about when I was growing up, you know, with the beauty shop where they had it set up was in the kitchen area.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people would come and they would sit around and they would, you know, wait for their turn, and they were kind of on a schedule, you know. And so the flies would come in and out of the house. And so in the summertime, she had charged me and gave me the task of making sure that I killed all of the flies. And so, because you know how flies can be when the windows are up or the doors are open. And so she gave me that responsibility. And, you know, she would give me a little piece of change. And we had what they call the little cookie store, the corner store.
Candy lady.
Yeah. And so I was looking forward to getting those 2-for-a-penny cookies. Some of y'all don't have no idea what I'm talking about right now. But, you know, I would leave the door open. I got so good at killing flies. I would leave the door open, and I believe the flies began to spread the word that don't go down there because you're not going to come back out of there. And so they got the gist of what was happening. And it was a no-fly zone at my house because I was taking them out left and right so I could go down to the candy store. And I started thinking about that today. But there are so many memories because I was raised in a home, of course. Both parents were present. And my mother prayed. My dad was a pastor. And I tell you, that influence that they both instilled within us is still a part of my life even today.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any special memory that comes to mind?
Oh, I have lots of special memories.
I know you
about
do.
My mom. She was a phenomenal mom.
She was indeed.
So kind to people. And I've even mentioned in a sermon a couple of memories of my mother and how she helped people. My mother worked downtown. I'm originally from Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and would catch the train and the bus to work every day.
Okay.
And one particular day, I met her downtown. I don't know what reason I met her down there at her job. And as we were getting ready to go take the subway home, you know, you go down the steps underneath the ground to the subway,
mm-hmm.
there was a little boy standing on the side of the street, and he said, "Ma'am, can I have some change? I'm hungry. I need something to eat." And where we were going down into the subway, I don't know if people remember Woolworths.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Woolworths 5 and Dime, and they had a lunch counter in there.
Okay.
And so we had gone a few steps down into the subway, and my mom looked up as the little boy was talking. We came back up out of the subway, and she said, "You said you're hungry?" And he said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Come on." And the little boy followed us into Woolworths, and she went to the lunch counter, and she asked him what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Can I have a piece of pizza?" She said, "Sure, honey." She ordered a piece of pizza, and he looked at her and said, "Can I have a hot dog, too?"
Wow.
And she said, "Of course." And she got him a slice of pizza, a hot dog, and a Coke.
Mm.
And after she paid for it, I tell you, that little fella was some kind of hungry. He sat right there, and he ate that pizza and hot dog and drank that drink, and we turned around and left.
Wow.
And that was one of the most memorable moments in my life of my mom's kindness and her giving. Mm-hmm. And one thing she said is, one thing I hate is to see a child hungry.
Okay.
And so that left an indelible impression upon me. There are so many others, right, you know. Right. I can tell you about the little gangster family down the street that mm-hmm. Everybody in the neighborhood hated them Dawsons. Uh-oh. They were some terrible, terrible people, you know. They beat up people. They stole stuff and
they
everything.
They were bullies and all
bullies,
of that.
Bullies, I'm telling you. Nobody liked the Dawsons. And in the middle of the night, one night, we were awakened by the sounds of fire trucks. Mm-hmm. And when we walked outside, they lived down the street. You know, they lived about five or six houses from me. Their whole house was engulfed in flames.
Wow.
I don't know how the fire started. I never thought about that until tonight, how the fire started. But that was the first time I had ever been that close to a house fire. Mm-hmm. And so I remember it was cold outside because we had on our night clothes, but we put our winter coats on. Okay. over our pajamas and stuff to go outside to watch the fire, the house burn. And the house burned down to the ground. And mm-hmm. we went back inside and went back to bed. I don't know if it was late or not. It may have been, you know, maybe 10 o'clock. Uh-huh. May have been early, but because we went to bed, we were kids, we went to bed early. But that next morning when I got up to go to school, my mother was rummaging around in my closet. Mm-hmm. And she was putting things, we had plastic bags and we had paper sacks back then from the grocery store, putting clothes and paper sacks. And I asked my mom what she was doing. She said she was getting together things for the Dawsons.
Okay.
And I said, the Dawsons? Why are you going to give them our stuff, you know? And she said, because they're in need. They lost everything.
Wow.
And so that was another indelible impression that my mom left upon my heart and in my mind as a giving person, as a loving person, that no matter what people do and how they treat you, you know, wow. you show the love of Christ
That's
towards
powerful.
Them.
And that really kind of helped shape your theology. As
Absolutely.
It, and it's clear that that was an outreach in both of those mm-hmm. situations.
Yes.
And those kind of moments really sink deep in our spirits and help us to really get a sense of what we ought to be about. Because, mm-hmm. What we bring to the table in our relationships and on our jobs and even in the church is basically what we have experienced mm-hmm. in our setting at home,
right.
whether it was good, bad, or indifferent, mm-hmm. and some of the things that have a lasting impression on us mm-hmm. is some of the things that we perpetuate even today in terms of how we respond to situations.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
And so this is great, and I know those of you who are on the study tonight, you're probably having some flashbacks yourself and remembering some good moments, some bad moments, and some indifferent moments. But we need to honor our mothers, and we need to really ask God to give us what we need, even if we're going through a situation where we're struggling with some things that were not the way we thought they should have been in our past. Mm-hmm. And then those who have lost their mothers and they are gone on to be with the Lord. And sometimes it never goes away, but God kind of helps ease the pain.
Yes.
And helps gives us the victory in order to overcome.
Amen.
Wouldn't you agree with me on that?
Yes.
All right. Well, thank God for mothers. And Lady Kim, this word that you preached on yesterday, I know we normally have you to do the recap of the sermon, but what happens when women pray? And we, of course, know in 1 Samuel, the first chapter, verses 6 through 18, really kind of set the tone for that whole situation that was happening with Penina
yes.
and Hannah, and then I think it was Elkanah and Eli, mm-hmm. and there was a lot going on in the house because Eli and who was it? Eli who
Elkanah had his wife Hannah
couldn't have
no children.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. But Peninnah had many children.
Right, mm-hmm. and she was taunting Hannah, and she was going through a whole lot of drama in the house with the kids, and that probably was a very interesting dynamic that was happening. But Hannah pressed her way through all of that, and she continued to seek the face of God. And we don't know why she was not able to bear any children, but she was praying so hard till, as you said in your points,
Eli thought she was drunk.
Yeah. And so he said, well, whatever it is you're praying about, you know, we grant that the Lord will give you what you're asking him to do.
Amen.
And you said sooner than that, 9 months later, something powerful happened in her situation.
Yes.
She became pregnant and had a son. And his name was what?
Samuel,
that's right. And so as a result of that, we know that Samuel played a prominent role in the
old... It wasn't Samuel, was it?
Yeah.
Okay, Samuel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah. And so I think the points that you...
No, Samson.
Huh? Was it?
Yeah.
It was
because
Samson?
Because she didn't cut his hair.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It was Samson.
All right. Seemed like Samuel was in here somewhere, kind of... but I believe it was Samson.
It was Samson.
Okay, okay. Yeah. I know you... I know, and we kind of, but here are the points that you brought out of that. You were talking about how important it is for when women pray, and you didn't just allow it to be about women. It was for all of us, but you were dealing with the characters in that particular text,
right,
and bringing forth your points. When women pray, we touch the heart of God. We are released from the torment of our pain. And our hearts are touched by God, and our faith is restored. And so it was clear and it was obvious, Lady Kim, from your preaching, that that was a word that was really deep in your spirit, and it came as a result of your intercessory prayer life that you already have, to develop those points and to just remind us of the importance and the significance of what happens when we really connect with God through that prayer. Prayer changes things, and it also changes people. Would you agree with me on that?
Yeah.
And so what else you want to maybe comment on as it relates to that?
That you were absolutely correct. Hannah's son was Samuel.
That's what I thought, but we had a conversation last night. I'm not going to bring that up, but I was... That's another illustration to show you that, you know, I don't have to go that way. And so if you want to tell them what happened, you can, but I'm not going.
But I'm not always right.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
So you got to...
Hannah's son was Samuel. Yeah. Yes. She had three sons and two daughters.
Okay. All right.
And that first son was Samuel. And I was thinking Samson because Samson never cut his hair.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that she stated in that particular scripture, that when she dedicated him back to the Lord, that he would not cut his hair.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking, when you said that, I was reflecting on Samson.
Okay. All right. Do we have any comments there?
Not particularly to what we're talking about in the scripture.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so that whole passage of scripture, and it's a familiar passage of scripture, but you really made it live yesterday, Lady Kim. And I tell you, Atop is proud. I'm over proud of, and I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, of the outstanding work that you're doing. And, you know, God is really blessing each time you get up to deliver the word. I'm not asking for anything. I'm not trying to get into brownie points or none of that.
Oh, okay.
But each time you get up, but I would like to have some of that pound cake, though. But each time you get up and preach the word, you can see the growth and the development. And it's not just because you're in school, but it's because you have the heart for God's word, and that you're close to God in your prayer. And it's obvious that you're spending time studying, and it becomes clear when it comes forth in your preaching. And so we praise God for you, Lady Kim. And I know all of the people who are on, and those who are members of Atop, who we've had acquaintance with over the years, they can see that too.
Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. So when women, what happens when women pray? They touch the heart of God. We are released from the torment of our pain, and our hearts are touched by God, and our faith is restored.
And you know, as I was crafting that sermon and going over in my mind, you know, I talked about what happens when women pray. And one line I had in there is that the only way we can be released from the torment of our pain is through prayer. Mm-hmm. But then I had to take that out.
Okay.
Because sometimes it takes prayer and fasting.
That's right. That's
sometimes right. It takes prayer, fasting, and counseling.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So we don't want to leave that out. And okay. I should have said that on yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought about it again after I preached. But counseling plays a major role in being released from the torment of our pain.
Okay.
A lot of times we're stuck in the past. We cannot move forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we allow the enemy to replay that thing over and over in our minds.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to get some mental health, professional mental health services to help mm-hmm. us through that.
Mm-hmm. That's
but
good. That's
we
good.
Start with prayer.
We start with prayer.
We start with prayer. And sometimes the Bible says some things come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting.
That's right. That's
and
right.
Most things can come forth by prayer and fasting, but never ever say, you know,
it's going to happen just because
just
pray.
Because we pray and get mm-hmm. on our knees and we pray it away.
It can happen,
yes.
But in most cases, we need a well-rounded approach.
Absolutely.
In order to get the breakthrough. And God has placed all of these people around us
mm-hmm.
so that we can take advantage of what
Absolutely.
We need in order to be whole, in order to be healthy, in order to be healed.
Amen.
And sometimes we stop short of going to that next level in
mm-hmm.
terms of making sure that we have been set free and restored.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Amen.
So again, we want to say amen and praise God for the word on yesterday. But here we are now. We're in 1 Chronicles 29. Is there anything else you want to add to that before
no.
we move?
Mm-hmm.
1 Chronicles 29. And on last week, we were, of course, in the 28th chapter. And we see how David was really setting the house in order and making sure that everyone understood their role and their responsibility, and that everyone had been assigned different tasks in terms of what would happen in terms of the flow in the temple and how important it was for everyone to do their part.
Mm-hmm.
It's similar to what Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians. I believe that's the 12th chapter, how he compares, he uses the analogy of the body, the human body, and how all of the parts are connected to each other. And so if one part stops doing its function, then it's going to affect the whole body.
That's the whole body.
And so it is with us, even in the church today.
Mm-hmm.
If God has called you to a thing and has called you to a ministry, has called you to be responsible, and you have acknowledged that, then you're not serving to please man, but you're serving to please God.
Mm-hmm.
And then you should fulfill the assignment that God has placed upon your life and not allow what you have been charged and challenged to do to fall by the wayside, because you may not see it right there, obviously, in front of you, that how that is affecting the whole church.
Amen.
Because you have neglected to do your part with a spirit of excellence. And so all of that is right there in that 28th chapter. And that's a passage, that's a chapter for leadership and as well as fellowship, and for people stepping up and doing what is required of them to do, even today as it relates to what our assignments are.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so here we are in this 29th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
David is really extending that 28th chapter and probably the 27th chapter as well, as he's preparing everything. And he's dealing specifically with the worship through giving.
Mm-hmm.
And we also see how mm-hmm. he's setting up some theological importance and significance, and he's making sure that people understand their role in terms of what God requires of them. And he sets the example, he sets the tone, mm-hmm. and he makes sure that all of the leaders, they're still assembled from chapter 28. He makes sure that they see him first being the model for them to follow, even in their worship, in their giving, in their sacrifice, and even in their living. And that sets the tone, because David passes off to the scene here in this 29th chapter, and it's a clear indication here, and he makes reference to it, that Solomon was young, mm-hmm. and he was immature, but he had surrounded him with all of the necessary things that he needed, including leadership, in order for him to be successful mm-hmm. in what God had assigned for him to do.
Yes, yes. One of the things that flashed across my mind is, and I'm not going to mention any specific names, but don't we wish some of our star athletes had the same mentorship from their fathers.
Wow.
Their fathers to speak into their lives and to surround them with wise counsel and people that will help push them to the next level, so they maintain their integrity, that they maintain the gift that God has given them.
Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't it be awesome if,
anybody's in a earshot of Memphis, they know who you're talking about, but that's a sad, sad situation. And we need to continue to pray for Ja, you know, that he might come to himself and that he might find his way, because he's a grown man right now. And yes. Something was missing mm-hmm. in between him getting to where he is now mm-hmm. and where he was when he was growing up in the house. And so we don't know what that is, but we do know that prayer will extend itself mm-hmm. even to those who are in need and they don't even know people are praying for them. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with me on
Amen.
That?
Amen.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. Let's maybe read the first 10 verses, because I think when we get to verse number 10, we see that David, he's going into a worship mode and he's getting ready to offer up a whole new and unique prayer that lasts for about 10 verses. As he's praying and as he's seeking God's face and as he's getting ready to release the mantle to his son.
Amen.
So let's start reading at verse number 1. For those of you who just joining us, we're in 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter. We're going to start reading at verse number 1.
And it reads thusly. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Then King David turned to the entire assembly and said, "My son Solomon, whom God has clearly chosen as the next king of Israel, is still young and inexperienced.
Mm-hmm.
The work ahead of him is enormous, for the temple he will build is not for mere mortals. It is for the Lord God himself. Using every resource at my command, I have gathered as much as I could for building the temple of my God. Now there is enough gold, silver, bronze, iron, and wood, as well as the great quantities of onyx, other precious stones, costly jewels, and all other kinds of fine stones and marble. And now, because of my devotion to the temple of my God, I am giving all of my own private treasures of gold and silver to help in the construction.
Mm-hmm.
This is in addition to the building materials I have already collected for his holy temple. I am donating more than 112 tons of gold from Ophir and 262 tons of refined silver to be used for overlaying the walls of the buildings and for the other gold and silver work to be done by the craftsmen."
Okay.
"Now then, who will follow my example and give offerings to the Lord today? Then the family leaders, the leaders of the tribes of Israel, the generals and captains of the armies, and the king's administrative officers all gave willingly, for the construction of the temple of God. They gave about 188 tons of gold, 10,000 gold coins, 375 tons of silver, 675 tons of bronze, and 3,750 tons of iron. They also contributed numerous precious stones, which were deposited in the treasury of the house of the Lord under the care of Jehiel, a descendant of Gershon. The people rejoiced over the offerings, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord, and King David was filled with joy.
Wow, wow. There's a lot in those first nine verses, but we see David really setting the tone as the assembly is still present and all of the leaders from across the region in the nation of Israel, they are present as David is preparing to pass the mantle on to his son. Mm-hmm. And it's clear that he's making sure that they understand again that his son had been called by God to do the work that in building the temple. And we know that we talked about it previously that David was not able to do that. And God made it clear that his son would be the one who would. Mm-hmm. And he could have very easily had a serious case of attitude, or he could have just pulled back, but he was in agreement with what God had requested, and he did everything in his power to make sure that his son would be successful.
Amen.
And so that's part of what you were talking about a few minutes ago,
right.
The model that he set, the importance of him understanding, and not just him speaking it,
mm-hmm.
but for Solomon to see his dad taking the lead.
Yes.
I think in that verse number, that's the first verse, and he said that this is a great work because of the temple. It is not for man, but for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And now the house of the Lord, I have prepared. And so he said, I'm going to release all of the things that we've already given, of the things that we have received from, you know, our conquest. He said, but now I'm going into my personal stash, if
right.
you will.
Yes.
And I'm releasing that so that the work can go forth. And he begins to describe what he was really willing to give,
mm-hmm.
in order to make sure that the work was successful, as well as his son.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things I thought about too when I read over that is that that he gave, King David gave freely.
Yeah.
He gave without hesitation to the work of kingdom building.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know, in hindsight, of course, that Solomon became one of the wisest and richest kings that ever lived.
That's right. That's right.
And so I think it was because of David's example and his generosity that Solomon was able to give like his daddy gave,
mm-hmm.
and therefore continue the blessing.
That's good. That's
to
real
be
good.
Rained down upon himself and his family and the kingdom.
So what is the message for us as relates to what you just shared, and how important is that in terms of how people should look at this whole sacrifice of giving and offerings to the Lord?
Well, we should give freely, as
okay.
I said,
okay.
without hesitation.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we're afraid to give because we think we won't have.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny that God's ways are not like our ways, and not like man's
good.
Ways.
That's good.
It's when we give that we are blessed tremendously.
Absolutely.
So, you know, the world's thinking and God's thinking, or the world's ways and God's ways, are totally opposite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we need to give, because that scripture says, give and it shall be given unto you.
That's
good,
right.
measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom.
Wow.
So, you know, whatever measure that we give, it shall be given back to us again.
That's right.
So we know God's word to be true,
mm-hmm.
you know.
His promises are sure.
Hallelujah.
Glory,
yes,
God.
Lord.
That, you know, in verse number, I was looking at that, Lady Kim. In verse number 3,
mm-hmm.
he says, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the Holy House, my special treasure of gold and silver. So he had already given, but this is over and above.
Over and above.
And so, you know, sometimes people get to the place where they think the tithe is where they ought to be. And they don't see the offering and as it relates to over and above what they have God has already required of us. But it's clear right here that David was making sure that he set a tone in the tenor for his son to not just keep everything, but release it back to God. And God blesses as a result of our obedience to his word.
Amen. And so we don't stop with the tithe.
That's
right. The tithe is the foundation.
That's right.
And we are to build upon that giving foundation. Some people say, well, today I'm just going to give an offering. But the question is, have you given your tithe?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have not given your tithe, you're certainly not giving an offering.
Wow.
So you can't call it an offering. You can say, I'm just putting a little something in today.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not an offering. So give them your tithe first. And then whatever else, you know, you give after the tithe is your offering.
And everybody's not there yet. And we understand that.
Yeah.
But if you start where you are and you set in motion a process that will get you to where you need to be, if you don't start, you never will get there.
Right. Absolutely.
Excuse me. And many times people look at what they don't have or they think that they're going to lose as a result of giving to God.
Mm-hmm.
But when we give, God releases so much more than what we had. And God loves a cheerful giver. I think someone said that
in the comment.
And so we have to just release it back to God. And I tell you, God will reward the faithfulness of your obedience to his word.
Amen. And if you haven't tried God, go ahead and try.
Mm-hmm.
Give until it hurts.
Right.
You know? Sometimes God says, give something, and I kind of question God and hesitate. But, you know, once you give, you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it feels right after you do it. You know, and sometimes we kind of question why God is telling us to give to this person or this particular organization. But if we're obedient, God releases something supernatural to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And let me say this, that... You know, it's not all the time monetary.
That's right.
When I say give, it might be give of some time.
That's
you know,
right.
It might be give
your
of yes, give of your talent or your gift.
Mm-hmm.
It might be give of your money.
Right.
You know, it might be give of something you have around your house that you've been holding on to for a while. I was looking through my closet the other day. I said, I haven't worn this suit I know
here,
in about. In about 6 or 7 years, I need to give it away.
I felt something right.
Yeah,
there.
I identify several items of clothing that I need to just give away.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to do that real soon.
All right.
I am.
And we might have to come up with, I don't know if I was talking to you about this or not, but I have a lot of suits and stuff in the closet that just really taking up space. Oh, okay, we're going to do all of that now. But, all right. And so we might need to just have a first lady and pastor giveaway and just, you know, set it out. So whatever, we don't even have to be there because people be saying, you know, they'd be looking all funny and stuff, but we could just give it away or just take it to the shelter or whatever. But
that's a better idea. Take it to the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
We know that the people at the shelter really need it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're in 1 Chronicles 29, and we're talking about the first 9 verses of this chapter because David really sets the tone and he releases and he gives over and above, and his son is watching. The leaders of Israel, they are watching. The full assembly, they are taking notice. And then after he set the example, he challenged the leaders to follow suit.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's much easier when the people have, I guess, something in front of them,
an example
of what it means to surrender to God and release back to God what he's already blessed them with. And then when it's called upon for those to follow, it won't be strange. And the person who's requesting or asking that won't feel some kind of way because they are not doing what they should be doing.
Yes.
Would you agree with me on that?
Yes. Dr. Olu said that reminds her of when they used to have the giveaway fair in church. That's an interesting concept.
Giveaway fair. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so, that's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But I was also thinking as you were talking that when we were first starting in our ministerial journey, that like you were pastoring a church in Birmingham, Alabama, and I don't remember what the occasion was that we were asking people to give to, but I'll never forget what Sister Odessa Turner, Mother Odessa Turner told me. Forever. She said, First Lady, y'all can't ask nobody to do nothing. Y'all ain't willing to do yourself.
That's right.
And, you know, we had all intentions of, you know, doing what we were asking people to do. But it was profound, yet it was so simple to me. Mm-hmm. And that stands for any leader. As a leader, you can't ask people under your leadership to do something that you're not willing to do yourself. If you're going to ask people to give, guess what? You have to set the example and be the first givers.
Right.
Givers. So as leaders in the congregation, as leaders in the church, we ought to be the first examples of givers so that the congregation can follow our lead.
That's good. Now, Mother Turner also told you something else, too, as related to giving. I was thinking about that as you were talking, when she gave you an offering or a gift and she placed some money in your hand. You remember that? And she told you when people want to bless you.
Oh, when people want to bless you, take it.
You got to receive it.
Yes, because she was an older lady. She didn't have much.
Right.
And she put some money in my hand. It wasn't much. And I said, no, Sister Turner, no. You know, I was rejecting her. And she said, no, you're not going to block my blessing. Mm-hmm. You're not going to stop my blessing.
Right.
And you need to learn how to be a receiver. And receive.
When people want to bless you.
Yeah, when people want to bless you, you need to receive what they're giving you without, you know,
rejection.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. Because in a sense, you're blocking their blessing.
That's right.
And this is another thing she said. She said, because if I didn't want to give it to you, I sure wouldn't give it to you. So, you know, you don't hinder people's blessing. You know, when people offer you something, you know, they don't have to offer it to you.
Right.
So evidently they want you to have it.
They want you to have it.
So learn how to accept. Sometimes we're so prideful.
Wow.
You know, we don't want to accept things. But I've learned how to be, you know, I'm still working on it. Because sometimes when people want to give and I know that they're struggling, I don't want to receive.
Right.
But you're blocking, I'm blocking that blessing from them, you know, from blocking their blessing from God through their giving.
Okay.
So learn how to be a receiver as well as a giver.
All right. I feel breakthrough on the line,
Amen.
Reverend.
Hallelujah.
I thank God for bringing that back to your memory because Sister Turner was a godly woman and a saintly woman.
Yes.
And we were young in ministry and, you know, the saints back then, they were watch and observe and they could see, you know, potential and see, you know, beyond where we were because we were really kind of clueless about a whole lot of things back then. But praise God for those who were praying and who were setting models and examples. And so it is with us as believers in this day and time. We can't forget from whence we've come.
Amen.
And we have to set the model for those who are yet coming behind us.
That's right.
Isn't that
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Because if you look at verse number 9, that's where we stopped. It says, then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart, they had offered willingly to the Lord. And King David also rejoiced greatly.
Yes.
And
hallelujah.
So not only will the leader that sets the example be glad that people are catching the vision, mm-hmm. God gets the glory and God gets the honor, and they are willingly, they're willing vessels, and it's not, as that scripture says, that God loves a cheerful giver, hilarious giver. He doesn't want us to give grudgingly or wishing we had held back. Mm-hmm. But these people offer their gifts willingly.
Willingly. Right. And then again, too, you know, and I need to walk lightly on this one, because I've been at churches where they make you feel guilty
about giving.
Mm-hmm. You know, they guilt you into giving.
Okay.
You know, and I don't think God wants it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, he mm-hmm. wants us to give freely. That's what it says, by give freely and not grudgingly.
Right.
Because when you give grudgingly, that means you have a guilt attached
right.
to it.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And I don't think, as people of God, you should be made to feel guilty about giving. You should be made to feel glad about giving.
That's right.
Not
That's
sad.
Right. That's
it's
right.
an opportunity to be blessed. And it's an opportunity to be a blessing.
That's right.
So we should be ever so happy to give to God. Because mm-hmm. when you give to God,
he gives you more.
He'll give you more. And it'll be pressed down, shaken again.
That's right.
Running
you can't
over.
Be God's giving.
Amen.
No matter how hard
Amen.
You try.
And ATOP is not a church that browbeats people into giving.
No.
You know, we expect through our teaching,
right.
like tonight,
right.
that people will give freely and understand that God has placed a mandate on our hearts to give unto kingdom building.
Okay.
You
okay.
know, and if we all give of our tithes and our offerings, we wouldn't have to do extra things.
That's right. That's
you know,
right. We could do more.
We could do more ministry. We want to do more ministry.
Hallelujah.
You know, yes. Be okay. a cheerful
a
giver.
Cheerful giver.
We
Hilarious
should feel
giver.
Honored to give to God.
That's
Amen.
Right. That's
Thank
right.
you.
Glory
yes.
to God. Well, Lady Kim, we're at verse number 9, and our time is getting away from us, believe it or not. And so here's what I want to suggest, and you can let me know what you think. If we stop here and then pick it up at verse number 10 on next week.
That sounds good.
And that way we can give more time to the closing out of this chapter, because David is now going into a time of worship and praise mm-hmm. here, and thanking God and mm-hmm. just giving God the glory, because he's getting ready to pass off the scene here in the next few verses, verse 28, somewhere around in there. But we want to make sure we give enough credit. Well, you know, really emphasize mm-hmm. this latter part as we prepare to close out this time in First Chronicles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Amen.
All right. Anything else you want to just maybe add as we, well, any prayer requests or praise reports, because they're always upon us that anyone might have outside of what we're aware of. And Lady Kim is going to share some prayer requests and some information about what we already have. But if you have a special need or a prayer request, go ahead and put it in the box there so that we might lift you up. We have several opportunities for people to pray. Our Golden Ministry, our seniors, they are praying each Tuesday morning early at 6 o'clock. And then we have intercessory prayer on Wednesdays at 8:30. And so we have
inspiration.
Yeah, the inspirational moment each Tuesday. We're praying. And then also before services each Sunday,
Amen.
We're setting the house in order. And we have intercessors who have been assigned to lead during that particular time.
Amen. Amen. So I don't see any prayer requests on the feed tonight. If you have some, please place them there. But we most certainly want to continue to lift up Brother James Shotwell
That's right.
at
That's
Regional
right.
1.
Yes, ma'am. I had the opportunity to go down today. They called. His daughter called, as well as his good friend, Brother Whitmore, that they were there. And Brother James opened his eyes, and he's conscious. Did I say that right?
Yes,
and
conscious.
He's able to see people, and he's he's speaking. And so he was talking and telling them that he wanted to see, and they were trying to get an understanding of who he wanted to see. And it said something. Whitmore said it was somebody with an M. He said he was trying to figure out who he was talking about, because Shorty always called me Pastor. Mm-hmm. Pastor, you know, he doesn't used to call me Pastor Murray. Mm-hmm. And so when his daughter figured out who he was asking for, they called me on the phone and said he wanted to see me. I got down there, Lake Kilman. The nurse was in the room, and I grabbed his hand. He saw me, and his smile was so bright and so big. The nurse had to say, I hadn't seen him smile like that since he'd been here. Yeah. And so he was grateful, and we had prayer together. And I know it was just warm for him as it was for me to be able to pray with him today down at Regional One.
Amen. So glad you got a chance to see him. We want to continue to lift up Brother Willie Watkins. Mm-hmm. We want to lift up Sister Lena Jackson. Sister Vivian Mitchell is asking for prayers for her aunt.
Okay.
She's been placed on hospice.
Mm.
She will be 80 this coming Saturday.
Wow.
So we're lifting up your aunt. If you would put your aunt's name in the chat, yeah, so we can call her name.
Absolutely.
Out tonight, Sister Vivian, we'd appreciate it. Pray for the city of Memphis and Shelby County firefighters. We also, I'm going to lift up Ja Morant tonight.
Okay, all right.
Ja Morant and his guidance. All right.
Got the
Carters. Also, we want to lift up Sister Michelle Carter,
mm-hmm,
and her family. Sister Michelle lost her sister, Angela White. That funeral is this coming Saturday at Boston Baptist Church, over off of, I think it's Jackson Avenue.
Right.
Viewing is at 11 o'clock a.m. The funeral begins at 12 noon. So let's continue to lift up Sister Michelle Carter. And Sister Vivian's aunt is Martha Lee. We're praying for Martha Lee.
Okay.
All right. So I think our prayer requests are here. I don't see any others. So, Mother Pauline is recovering in rehab. Okay, Sister Boone.
That's great.
All right.
We want to also, Lady Kim, lift you up as you prepare for your procedure tomorrow. And we already claim victory, and we are already believing God for healing.
Amen.
And restoration. Lady Kim is having eye surgery tomorrow, and she doesn't want me to tell y'all, but we believe it. Stop pinching me under the table, man. But we believe in the power of prayer, and we know that God is going to restore our eyesight 100.
Amen.
And she has been trying to figure out what was going on, and she went to the doctor, and it was a whole lot of stuff going on behind that pupil that needs to be restored. And so we speak healing and deliverance right now, Lady Kim, that you're going to come out all right, and God's going to give you some brighter eyes and some...
Amen.
Give
me some spiritual insight. Vision.
How about
Glory, God. I need spiritual
vision. So we believe that even now. How many of you believe and going to pray with me with Lady Kim coming out all right tomorrow, and that she's going to be seeing even better? Don't look too close at her now. I know y'all trying to look at her eyes, but she's going to be even better.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. All right. Let us go to God in prayer on tonight. Precious Jesus, we love you tonight. We bless you and we honor you, for you alone are worthy to be praised. God, we lift up the prayer request to you tonight, God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Glory, God.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yes, God.
Every name, oh God, that
Thank
has
you,
been
God.
Put in that chat.
Yes, God.
Every name that has been lifted up tonight.
Thank you,
Every
God.
Concern that has been lifted up tonight. We give it back to you,
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
We thank you for Brother James Shotwell, God. Yes, continue God. To heal his body Glory, as God. Only you can, God.
Jesus.
God, we thank you for healing Sister Lena Jackson. Now strengthen her body so,
Do it, God.
Can,
Do it,
so
God.
She can come back to church, oh God. Give her the strength that she needs. God, we lift up the firefighters, the Memphis and Shelby County thank firefighters you, to you, God. Put a hedge of protection around them tonight, God. Also, our first responders, our police officers, God. They're up against so much, oh God, and we thank you for their service to our community. So we pray a hedge of protection around our firefighters and our police officers. God, we lift up Sister Martha Lee to you, God.
Thank you, God.
As she is in hospice. Oh, God, we put her in your care tonight, God. Give her the peace that surpasseth all understanding. Let her know that you will never leave her nor forsake her, Glory that you're going to be with her thank always, even thank until the end. God. And we thank you today, God. God, we thank you for Mother Pauline in rehab, God. Strengthen Mother Pauline
Strengthen
right now,
her,
God, in the name of
in
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh, God, we lift up Brother Martez Jones to you, God.
Yes, God.
Oh, God, continue to heal his body
do
like
it,
never
God.
Before.
Do it, God.
God, we lift up John Morant to you,
yes,
God.
God. Yes,
God.
God,
do a new thing,
a
in,
new thing
in his life, God. Surround him with godly wisdom,
thank
oh, God.
You, God.
Give
thank
him
you,
the
God.
Counsel that he needs, oh, God, so that he doesn't squander the gift that you have given him, God. And we thank you tonight,
we thank
God.
You, God.
We bless you tonight.
We bless you, God.
God, we lift up Sister Michelle Carter to you and Brother
yes,
Roy
God.
Carter in the loss
right
of
now,
that
God.
Sister
right
Angela
now, God.
White, God. Comfort them as
comfort,
only you
God.
Can,
comfort.
God. And we, oh God, stand with them in this time of bereavement. We know the sting of death is great, but the power and the peace of your
Hallelujah.
Everlasting arms are even greater.
Hallelujah.
So we thank you, God, for
we
comfort and
you,
peace
thank
for
you,
Michelle
God.
Carter and her family, God. And now, oh God, we thank you, oh God, that the surgery that is going to happen on tomorrow for myself, it is done,
it's
God.
Done.
And eyesight will be restored. So we thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
We bless you, God.
We bless you.
We thank you for each individual that's on
yes,
this
God.
Call
yes,
tonight, God.
God. Yes,
this
God.
Bible study. Now, oh God, allow us to learn to be cheerful givers,
mm-hmm.
God. To give over and above, oh God. Not to be stingy in our giving, God. But to be frugal, fruitful, not frugal in our giving.
Thank you, God.
We thank you tonight, God, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. It's in
Hallelujah.
Jesus' holy, righteous name we pray. Amen and thank God.
Amen. Praise
Amen.
God. Powerful prayer.
Amen.
And it is so.
And it is so.
In Jesus' name.
Good night, everybody.
All right.
See you next week.
Y'all
Bye-bye.
Be blessed.